Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for this hour, here again with great pleasure to have Mr. Dennis Hart here joining me.
And it's a pleasure to be with you, Ursula, on a Monday that's not so hot as it was last week. It's much cooler, and it's cooler in the studio. It's just great to be here on a day like today.
Absolutely, and this week's weather forecast is really only one thing, sun and sun. And then sunny weather.
And cooler sunny weather, yeah.
Yeah, temperatures should remain pretty much in the mid-80s, inching up a bit at the end of the week. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be more in the upper 80s, and nights should be in the 60s. So doesn't get much better than that in the summer.
Not at this time of the year. It's a delightful time, and thank you, thunderstorms, for coming in on Saturday and bringing the temperatures down.
Yeah, that's the way we do it in Iowa.
Yes, indeed. I know.
Okay, Mr. Hart, before we go to the news, just a brief discussion about the Wild Ones. I love talking about the Wild Ones with you.
Yes.
And a real brief update on the wolf spider. Last week, I reported that we met a wolf spider who was living in our drop ceiling.
Yes.
And we decided that he ran back up into the ceiling, and we decided he was doing good work up there.
Yes.
We learned that wolf spiders don't have webs. They hunt, and therefore they have the eight eyes. But the story didn't end there. So the second part of the story is called the wolf spider gets kicked out.
Uh-oh.
Because the wolf spider didn't stay in the ceiling. He came back down and started jumping around the floor.
Uh-huh.
They jump. They don't walk or run. They jump. And so my sister decided that was it. And she chased him down as he was jumping around, and she put him in a box, and she put him outside, where I think he will enjoy his hunting a lot better. I think it's a lot nicer to be out in the wild, in the wild that includes trees and plants instead of, ceilings and mouse poop.
Well, you know, maybe he was there to protect your house because from intruders, because as everybody knows, eight eyes are better than two. And so he was able to provide that sort of protection that maybe you needed out there. I don't know. Did you ever think about that?
Well, maybe he's guarding the house outside now.
But, maybe he is.
He is an awesome sight. Have you ever seen a wolf spider? But they are non-poisonous. They're not really dangerous. And they just look very hairy. But you had an unusual Wild One story. You're talking about where domestic animals meet wildness.
Apparently, yeah. I was walking. Everybody knows I walk a lot here in Ames. And
he does walk a lot.
I was on 6th Street heading east right at Ridgewood yesterday morning. It was a beautiful day, nice and cool. And a family was coming toward me. And I was right at the overpass where the tracks are. And it was a family with a husband, wife. He was pushing a stroller, two other children walking. And they had a black dog. Do not ask me what kind of dog. He was about 2.5 feet tall. He was black.
So he was big?
On a leash. So I got off onto the grass. And as the gentleman approached me, we exchanged greetings. Hello, how you doing? Walking by the family. And the dog leaps at me, literally comes off the ground and leaps at my midsection. Actually, I'm taking a nicer look at that for the radio. He was going lower than that and pushed me. Mm-hmm. And tried to grab me, and I got back. He didn't harm me in any way.
So he charged you with his body.
He did, off mm-hmm. the ground. He was coming at me. And I immediately said, does he do that very often? And the lady said it was a she dog, she never does that. So I'm just kind of wondering, and again, I was not hurt, what is it about me? Because that's the second time in 3 years, I kid you not, on that same street, in that same area, that a dog has come after me. A couple of years ago, I was walking westbound, and a woman with a dog on a leash came toward me. I stepped around, got off the sidewalk, and the dog comes at me and grabbed my pant leg. I was wearing sweatpants, so it was in autumn, and he tore it. I didn't grab my leg. And she said, he never does that. What? So, Ursula, I sit here on this Monday asking you, what is it about me that makes dogs want to harm me? Any ideas?
It sounds to me more like, what is it about that location
you think
that makes dogs want to harm you?
Really? You think it's the combination of me and 6th Street that
mm-hmm.
somehow
yes.
enrage dogs? That combination enrages dogs, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, dogs are domestic animals, but they are, at their core, they're wolves.
They are.
Yeah. And so I guess when you walk around, it's kind of like being a mailman. You encounter dogs
Yes, well, I certainly do. Most of them don't attack me, but I know how to fix this. Next Sunday morning, 7th Street.
Well, I'm thinking that the dog, the wild animal and the dog knew that you were on the radio and you had discussions about wild ones, and he just wanted to be on the radio.
So you think that the dog, when he or she approached me, said, that guy has a face for radio. He must be on radio, so I'm going to attack him, and therefore I'll be on the broadcast.
Did you say anything before he attacked you or she attacked you?
Well, I did say, hi, dog. I'm Dennis Hart from KHOI. No, I didn't say that.
So were you mad? Did you get mad when the dog attacked
you?
No,
I was surprised.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised. I was very happy that I was not injured in any way. But it does make you wonder, twice in 3 years at that same street, at that same location, what's going
on.
I thought I heard the Twilight Zone theme in the background and Rod Serling saying something, but I wasn't sure.
Well, speaking of Twilight... What's new in Iowa, Dennis?
Well, there was a whole lot of news around the state last week, as we all know. But what got everyone talking was the weather, the hot, hot weather. National Weather Service put out the word early in the week that heat index values around the state could reach 110 degrees. Much of Iowa, including Des Moines, was put on notice with an excessive heat warning from Wednesday through this past Saturday afternoon. Rest of the state was put on an excessive heat watch. Then thunderstorms rolled through much of the state on Saturday, lowering temperatures and bringing lots of rain and wind that caused some damage and leaving more than 26,000 people without electricity. Meanwhile, right here in Ames, most of us lost electricity Saturday afternoon, but not because of any storm. An electrical transmission line had a problem and left just about every home and business, including mine, here in Ames, without power for an hour or two. Also, a whole lot of news about presidential politics last week. Most of the Democratic presidential hopefuls spent time here in Iowa, taking part in 5 forums in 5 different cities, all sponsored by the Des Moines Register and AARP. The candidates all had a chance to get their talking points across during the week. Meanwhile, there was word that those candidates had collectively spent more than $2 million in Iowa between April 1st and the end of June. Almost half of that came from just 3 of them, Bernie Sanders, Beto O'Rourke, and John Delaney. Speaking of the presidential candidates, the dates were announced last week for some of them to speak at the Des Moines Register's political soapbox at the Iowa State Fair. Now, as you know, the soapbox is a long-running tradition. It offers candidates a platform, a microphone, and 20 minutes to make their cases to fairgoers. Among those schedules that were announced last week, Joe Biden at 1:30 on Thursday, August 8th, opening day of the fair. Beto O'Rourke is among those scheduled to speak on the 9th, Kamala Harris on the 10th, Bernie Sanders on the 11th, and Pete Buttigieg on the 13th. The Register's website has the complete schedule. In other news last week, there was word that a jury awarded a former state official who is gay $1.5 million in damages after finding that former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad had discriminated against him because of his sexual orientation. A Polk County jury determined that the state and the former governor had retaliated against former Iowa Workers' Compensation Commissioner Chris Godfrey. Godfrey, who is a Democrat, had filed a lawsuit 7 years ago alleging that Republican Branstad had pressured him to resign and cut his pay when he refused. Godfrey's lawyer said taxpayers eventually could wind up spending more than $6 million on this case because of attorney's fees for both sides. A strange story last week about the former head of the State Department of Human Resources, who was forced out last month. The governor's office said that Jerry Foxhoven's adoration for rapper Tupac Shakur, which was reported across the country last week, was not the reason Foxhoven was forced to resign. The Associated Press had reported that Foxhoven had sent out glowing emails about the late rap star to more than 4,000 staff members in his department. Then Foxhoven waded in, saying Governor Reynolds got rid of him after he declined to do something improper. Stay tuned. Also last week, President Trump's daughter Ivanka, who also serves as one of his advisors, came to Iowa to meet with Governor Reynolds and talk about job training. Ivanka Trump toured Hy-Vee's Innovation Center in Grimes and said both the supermarket chain and the state of Iowa are great examples of workforces with high participation and with room for advancement. Speaking of jobs, there was a report last week that leaders representing more than half of Iowa's 99 counties had filed a federal protest to the state's plan to cut unemployment service regions by nearly 2/3. The local officials worry that consolidation could lead to fewer Iowa workforce development offices, which provide services for jobless workers. Meanwhile, Iowa Republican 4th District Congressman Steve King made news again last week. He showed up in Ames to answer a variety of questions involving immigration, trade, and President Trump's broadsides against four Democratic congresswomen. And the president of a prominent Iowa conservative organization endorsed one of King's Republican opponents in next year's primary election. Bob Vanderplatz of the Family Leader Organization endorsed Iowa State Senator Randy Feenstra, who is running against King. Also word last week that Nationwide Mutual Insurance wants to repay the state of Iowa about $3 million in incentives it received to expand its downtown Des Moines Insurance and Financial Services campus. The Ohio-based company said it added the nearly 1,600 jobs it promised to create back in 2005 with its $158 million expansion, but that it is unable to maintain the required job total through the year 2023 as it had originally promised. Nationwide received nearly $17 million in tax credits for its building project. There was a grim scene at a Des Moines home last week. Three people were found dead inside a home on Day Street, a mother and her two children. They had been shot to death. Police arrested 31-year-old Marvin Oswaldo Escobar Orellana, and authorities said he was in the United States illegally and that he had been previously deported twice. Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley weighed in on this case, saying in his words, it appears that laws in place to protect against such violence failed this family. He asked for records from the Department of Homeland Security about the suspect's immigration history. Also in Des Moines last week, the city council decided against adopting any restrictions on firearm accessories after hearing opposition from gun owners and from several council members. The proposed ordinance would have banned the possession of high-capacity magazines and so-called trigger activators that allow guns to fire at a higher rate. Gun owners said such regulations would criminalize gun ownership and run afoul of the state's law that preempts any local actions regarding firearms. Still in Des Moines, police said a man tried to jump on a moving train early Saturday morning, but fell underneath it instead and died. He was identified as 26-year-old Ian Pfeffer of Des Moines. Meanwhile, in Davenport last week, a jury found a 13-year-old Iowa boy not guilty of attempted murder, but convicted him of lesser charges. Less than 1 year after he pointed a gun at his teacher in a crowded classroom and tried to pull the trigger. Jurors convicted Luke Andrews of assault while displaying a dangerous weapon, of carrying weapons onto a school ground, and assault with intent to inflict serious injury. His case was returned to juvenile court. In another case, a Polk County judge dismissed a legal challenge to an Iowa law that denies mandatory Medicaid coverage for transgender Iowans who are seeking transition-related care. It was reported that a family in Ankeny filed a lawsuit alleging that their 6-year-old son rode on a school bus for nearly 4 hours after leaving school last May. The lawsuit alleges that during the time, the youngster was not allowed to go to the bathroom, eat anything, or have any contact with his parents. The suit was filed against Durham School Services, which provides bus service for the Ankeny district. In Indianola last week, the school district adopted a sexual misconduct and discrimination policy that establishes rules for reporting and investigating complaints. That move came 1 week after an Indianola mother said school officials did not do enough to stop a student from groping or sexually assaulting 11 girls over several years. In another story, Iowa inspectors fined the state institution at Glenwood $15,000 for an incident in which a severely disabled elderly man fell unconscious after being left out on a patio for more than an hour on a hot afternoon. That citation was the latest blow against the Glenwood Resource Center, where a recent spike in patient deaths raised concerns about the quality of medical care. Also word last week that the State Department of Natural Resources was cracking down on those who failed to use a life jacket on the water. More than 300 people were fined earlier this month for failing to have life jackets on board their boats. Just in case you missed it last week, a report that Auburn University had agreed to pay former Iowa State University President Stephen Leith $4.5 million to leave Auburn. Leith had announced his resignation from Auburn just a couple of years after getting there, and he got there after leaving Iowa State University. Back in Des Moines, there was word that the city will get a new $5.5 million animal control shelter to replace its current undersized and outdated facility. New shelter will be at Southeast 14th and Harriet Streets, and we'll have 17,000 square feet. A couple of more notes before we finish. The Des Moines Register's annual Great Bicycle Race across Iowa, known far and wide as RAGBRAI, started this past weekend in Council Bluffs and in Atlantic. The bikers will finish next Saturday in Keokuk. And one last thing, and this is a tasty one indeed. As just about everyone knows, the Iowa State Fair is going to open on August 8th. And last week, the new foods at this year's fair were announced. 57 new foods, to be exact. Now, there's no way I can mention all 57, but I can mention a few of my favorites, at least the foods that have my favorite names or descriptions. So, here goes. Apple nachos. Bacon-wrapped pig wings. Chocolate brownie waffle stick. Fried avocado slices. Jumbo super dog. Count me in on that one. Pie shakes.
Pie shakes.
Pie shakes. Sirloin beef tip sandwich. Sounds straightforward. Mm. Soft serve cookie dough cones.
Wow.
Dill pickle popcorn. Ew, do I like that? Monster cookie popcorn. That sounds better. And one more, just to whet your appetite, Ursula. Bacon balls on a stick. Bacon balls on a stick. What do you think about that?
Is that an FCC violation?
I hope not. It's at the Iowa State Fair. I think they're licensed, aren't they? They're fine. Okay, there you have it. Some of the 57 new foods, just some of them, to be offered at this year's version of your Iowa State Fair. So if you go, be sure to take some antacids along. Bacon balls on a stick. And that is your summary of the past week's news from around this state. I don't know why, but for some reason, doing this newscast has made me mighty hungry.
Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Always a pleasure.
It must have been moon glow, way up in the blue. It must have been moon glow that led me straight to you. I still hear you saying, dear one, hold me fast. And I start to praying, oh Lord, please let this last. We seem to float right through the air. Heavenly songs seem to come from everywhere.
This is Local Talk. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for this hour, together with Mr. Dennis Hart.
Bacon balls on a stick, Ursula. That's what they're going to have at the Iowa State Fair.
Last week, Nevada, Iowa was one of hundreds of sites where people gathered for a vigil titled Lights for Liberty to bring attention to concerns about reports that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, has scheduled raids aimed at detaining and reporting thousands of people accused of remaining illegally within the United States. The vigil was in Nevada because the county jail has been contracted to house those being detained, transported, and held for deportation. KHOI's Cal Halliburton and Susan Franson prepared this report on the vigil.
Nevada, Iowa was one of the hundreds of sites where people gathered on Friday, July 12th, for vigils titled Lights for Liberty. The candlelight vigil, which was sponsored by the Story County Democrats and the League of Women Voters, was in response to reports that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, had scheduled raids aimed at detaining and deporting thousands of people accused of remaining illegally within the United States. But, as you will hear, it was more than a protest to the treatment of asylum seekers at the Mexican border. It dealt with many practical actions concerned people could take. KHOI reporter Cal Halliburton was on hand to bring us the words and emotions from the evening. Let's hear how Jessica Fears, the organizer of the event, introduced it.
Lights for Liberty is a national event. There's at least seven that I know of going on across Iowa. So, yeah, we've got a pretty good showing here in our state and all across the country. I'm just going to share with you guys a couple of the principles and demands that the national organization put out. So the first one is that we believe in the rights and freedoms of all to pursue a better life. Number two, we believe that everyone has the right to live, to work, and prosper. We recognize that it is the desire for work and for safety that drives immigrants to the United States. We recognize that seeking asylum is a universal human right. We demand an end of the criminalization of migrants. And so with all of these things in mind, I want to talk a little bit about what your next actions would be from here. Right now, we don't have a government that's really in favor of our principles and demands, but we have to keep persisting, right? We have to keep pushing at them, calling them, sending them emails, sending them postcards. I know that there's a couple counties who didn't decide to host an event, but they decided to send postcards to all of the representatives instead. So there's a lot of different avenues that you can take to accomplish these goals. But the most important one is to vote. Register your neighbors to vote. Get people excited to vote, because that's how we're going to do something about this.
The vigil's location at the Story County Justice Center was chosen to protest the fact that immigrants are currently being held there. Permission for this had been given in a contract signed a couple of years ago by the Story County supervisors, so two of them spoke first. First, Loris Olson.
I'm going first in part tonight because I'm the sole supervisor left on the board that voted to approve the original contract with ICE in June of 2017. And I did that after discussions at the board table and explanations from Story County Attorney Jessica Reynolds about what our process is in the county, and an explanation from Sheriff Paul Fitzgerald about what exactly it is we are doing here and what we're not doing. Let me start with a not. We do not hold children here. Another thing we don't do is we don't go out and pick up people at the request of ICE. What our contract is for is to, once we are a facility that would host someone for a day or two in transit. You can think what you want of it. At the time, I looked at it this way, and this was long before all of the abuses had come out in the media. Those people who have been picked up and adjudicated, who come and spend the night here, spend the night in a safe, secure, and clean facility. They receive not just adequate food, but good food, nutritious food. They receive respect and professional treatment from our staff. So the question is when somebody's here in Story County and they're picked up by the Ames PD or the ISU police or the Sheriff's Department for another offense. The Sheriff's Department, from my understanding, make no distinction, nor do they go to seek out the status of someone brought into the jail. They will not hold at the request of ICE until someone's status can be determined. So if that person goes before the judge and bonds out for whatever offense it is, or the charges are dismissed, and that person is walking out of our courthouse or our jail, then that person is free to go. The sheriff does not hold until a determination of citizenship is made. Will not do it. They consider that against the rights.
Linda Merkin.
I honestly want to talk about the things that we agree on. We can go back and we can look at that decision. Perhaps we should. I'm not afraid to do that, because I think we're here out of a larger sense of justice than the criminal justice system and the administration of justice. And I think we're here out of a sense of what's right and fair and merciful for our federal government to do. Is there any way it's right, fair, or merciful for our federal government to separate young children?
No!
Hell no!
Exactly. It's not right. Is it in any way right, fair, or merciful for our federal government to detain young children in woefully inadequate facilities run by employers with no expertise in caring for young children?
No!
And is it any way right, fair, or merciful for our president to make people afraid to open their doors for fear of being identified or misidentified and deported under the guise of being counted in the census?
No.
No. And that is what is going on. And I said federal government every time, because although we could make a change here and say we're not going to hold people for a day or two, whether or not we do, Other jurisdictions will still hold people. Tonight is a part of getting a just, fair immigration policy done. But we can't think that just what we do here in Story County is going to change the things that are happening. We have to send people to Washington, D.C. to tackle this issue. There's a lot of hate about it. We've got to get past that. Our grandson just graduated from high school in Texas, in a suburb of Dallas. When we looked at all the names that were in his program, the majority were subcontinent Indian, Hispanic, or African American. Our grandson was in a minority. He didn't care. I have a lot of faith in this next generation that they're going to solve this problem. But we've got to lead, and we've got to not make it worse.
Also, an excerpt from the English portion of remarks by Jamet Colton, a Chilean immigrant and current Ames School Board member.
Are you mad?
Yes.
Are you livid?
Yes.
I know you are. We are here. Absolutely. We need to reunite separated families now. Stop it from happening right now. We need to eliminate horrific conditions in detention facilities right now. This is an emergency. Why are so many people arriving at the border? U.S. intervention in other countries' affairs. The U.S. supporting military coup against democratically elected governments. Supporting dictators that attack their own populations. All in the name of what?
Money.
Who knows what?
Money.
U.S. policies help create the conditions that drive so many people to flee their homes. It's not a caravan. It's not an invasion. Those are scare tactics. Those are lies. It's us. It's me. It's you. It's your family history. It is all of us. We have an obligation to help not detain, not turn away people until we accept their foreign policy under both Democrats and Republicans has helped create this crisis. So I want to leave you with this. When you select who to support for president for 2020, check your candidate's policy, foreign policies. It matters.
Rick Exner of Mid-Iowa Organizing Strategy, AMIS, describes some of that organization's work to create a more inclusive community through the simple device of a Central Iowa Community ID.
For us here in Story County, for many of us, the immigrant community is an invisible community. You know it must be there because our motel rooms are nice and neat and the ham and cheese and eggs are arriving on our table on time. So you know the immigrants must be there. Well, they are, but they're afraid to lift their heads up. Our challenge, those of us with privilege, is, as Brian Stevenson of the Innocence Project puts it, get close to the situation. We need to find ways to get proximate to the situation and to become relevant to the situation, to our immigrant communities. And now I'm going to tell you about one way that we're doing that. Does everybody have one of these little cards that says Central Iowa Community ID? I'd like you to all have one, because imagine if this was the only card that you had. If you didn't have a driver's license, you didn't have any other ID, you didn't have a credit card, you didn't have a bank card that was recognized, you would be vulnerable. You would be asked all the time for ID and you wouldn't have it. And so you would just stay out of situations where you would be asked for ID. If you've got one of these, then suddenly you can go pick your kids up at school because they're going to ask you for an ID at school. You can go to the library. You can get your utilities connected. You can get emergency services at the hospital because you can prove who you are and where you live. You can get a bank account. In Johnson County, you can get a bank account with a county ID. And we're hoping that Greater Iowa Credit Union will accept this ID card as sole source of ID. So if you're a member of the credit union, give us some good vibes. If you're, God forbid, involved in an accident or some situation where an officer comes to you and says, can I see some ID? You have something to show them that they respect. They know what the ID card is, and they will respect it. If you don't have that, the officer may have to take you in and print you just to determine your identity. And you know where those prints go automatically? They go to ICE. So this is going to be a useful card for people for a number of reasons. And we're in the process of recruiting businesses. We're partnering with Marshall County, partnering with businesses, service providers. A lot of support from Mary Greeley Medical Center. The Ames Police have been wonderful partners. And when we talked to the mayor, who's actually the chief of police, who was the most articulate proponent for the ID card, because he said their strategy is to separate us from the immigrant community. And this card could be something that can bring us together.
And finally, Maria Alcivar has had some practical suggestions for immigrants and non-immigrants alike.
People that actually have green cards, that are here legally, that have U.S. citizenship, are being harassed because they're speaking Spanish here in Iowa too. ICE is here in Iowa, and we can't deny it. We just have to do something about it. So you can take out your phone and write it down. It's the Iowa hotline number, and it's 515-996-0003. If you see something, call that line. If you hear somebody from your congregation that needs some assistance, call that line. I also would like you to go on to Google and find Walnut Hills United Methodist Church from Urbandale and go into their donation link, because they have been really good at getting donations and helping across the state of Iowa. Okay? They have been collecting donations for the last 2 years. And if you have a congregation that is willing to do the same, please do it, because the more funds that we can raise for people to pay their electricity bills so that they don't go homeless, the more we're trying to help this community.
Lights for Liberty. Nevada, Iowa, sponsored by the Story County Democrats and the League of Women Voters, one of the hundreds of sites where people gathered on Friday, July 12th, for candlelight vigils in response to reports that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, had scheduled raids aimed at detaining and deporting thousands of people accused of remaining illegally within the United States.
Thank you, Cal Halliburton and Susan Franzen, for that report. Other voices you heard were Jessica Fears, Loris Olson, Linda Merkin, Jeanette Colton, Rick Exner, and Maria Alcivar. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 32 minutes after the hour on this Monday. Thanks for joining us. This Saturday, July 27th, the third annual Amazing Grace Lemonade Race to raise money for Blank Children's Hospital in Des Moines is going to take place right here in Ames. Grace McCunn is the person behind this event. She's a teenager who has already distinguished herself as an outstanding humanitarian and a remarkably successful philanthropist since she was 10 years old. She recently was the subject of an award-winning film filmed and directed by Ames District spokesman Eric Smith. Grace was also recently named a recipient of U.S. Cellular's The Future of Good Under 16 Award that granted $10,000 to her cause, the Blank Children's Hospital. Grace stopped by KHOI last week to speak with reporter Joy B. Her neighbor, Gene Gross, came too. He's known Grace since she was a baby and has watched and supported her and the McCunn family in their dreams and aspirations. Grace started out by describing this upcoming race.
I am putting on a 5K walk/run for Blank Children's Hospital on July 27th out at Ada Hayden up here in Ames. It's at 8 a.m., and since I give all my money to the kids, I also wanted to involve the kids, so I do have a kids' run at 7:30, just before the race.
My name is Gene Gross, and my wife Vicki and I have been neighbors with McCunn's for many years. We've known Gracie ever since she was born. She's unique in many respects, in all the best ways. And so we've been very pleased to be able to be a part of the Gracie's Lemonade Race. We don't race. We hand out the food.
Yeah, that's true.
It is a little hard, especially in this weather.
Yeah.
To run.
Yeah. They support us a lot, too.
It's just been a pleasure to be a part of it, even just the little bit we do. And we've just been incredibly impressed by what she's been able to accomplish and what she continues to accomplish, and for all the very best reasons.
The money that I raise goes to Blank Children's Hospital's new Developmental and STAR Center. Basically, the Developmental Center is for kids who ADHD, autism, learning disabilities, Down syndrome. The STAR Center is also for kids who have been abused mentally, sexually, or physically, or have been neglected, and they need help in the situation that they're in. In with the Star Center, they have foster care clinic for kids in the foster care system who also need help in the situation that they're in. That's what all of my money goes toward.
This is really exciting. So it started out with your sister, Sarah, had chronic migraines, and then you had the experience of a bad migraine, too, at school.
And I started all of this a couple years ago because I was diagnosed with chronic daily migraines. And so is my sister, who is older than me. When she was younger, also had chronic daily migraines. And we both spent time in the hospital, in the emergency room. So Blank always has a special place in our hearts and my family's hearts. So I decided to give back. I guess you could say a special way, but I don't think it's that special. So I decided to put on a lemonade stand on the corner of my street. Then it kind of went on from there. And so now I put on this race every year.
This is exciting that you're expanding into all different areas. I do want to ask, how are you doing, you and your sister, with these migraines? Do you get migraines still? And your sister, you said, does?
My sister and I both do get migraines from time to time. We both take different medications because no one is the same person. So it's interesting. My sister has learned to deal with it when it's tough and she needs to, you know, she's going to work and stuff like that. So now I'm trying my best to, I can't just leave an activity all of a sudden.
You have a very positive attitude, and I know that about you. It's difficult for an adult, let alone a child. How do you keep a positive attitude like you do with the pain that you deal with? What things do you feel really help you with the migraines?
Well, I've learned that there is kids out there and adults who have it a lot harder than me, who are dealing with a lot more than I deal with, and I don't try and be, I guess, self-centered with what I'm doing. I always think about those kids who struggle on a day-to-day basis and the families who also have to deal with them, who don't have all the stuff that the kids needs. That's what I put first.
It's just really a challenge even for an adult to get their mind around, and just to take this on at this young age and thoroughly understand what that really does entail, having had this a personal experience, to be this committed and in all sincerity this involved in improving the lives of others, especially for the most vulnerable in our society, those youngsters, some of the most needful people in our society that are in the hospital, that are struggling, and their families that are trying to support them. And we're just so very, very proud and pleased of what Gracie has accomplished.
You've had quite a few accomplishments this year. Do you want to talk about the film that one of your instructors produced?
Someone from the school district, the Ames Community School District, reached out to my family and asked if he could film a couple weeks and the weeks leading up to my second annual 5K walk/run for Blank. And of course we said yes, we didn't really know what to expect. It was an interesting thing. I've never really had something like that before. It was weird, a camera guy following me around from time to time.
Like a reality show?
Yeah, and I was like, then he submitted it to this film festival up in Omaha, and it won some awards, and then it also went to other film festivals in Iowa, and it also won awards. So it's weird having my face and me and my family and my friends all in this film and winning awards. It's different.
You also won a couple awards from the Blank Children's Hospital.
If you meet a goal at Blank by donating a certain amount of money, they will put you up on their donor wall. Blank Children's Hospital has a wall dedicated to kids, also like corporations who raise money. So if you hit like 1,000 or 5,000, then they'll put you up on that scrolling wall. But once you hit $10,000, then you are able to go on to the brick wall. They also have 10,000, 25,000, 50,000 bricks. And so they change that every year. And new people will show up on the wall, or other people, their bricks will grow in size, I guess you could say that. So I hit 50,000 a couple months ago.
And you had started out with a goal of 100?
Yeah.
You have the lemonade stand, and then you had a goal, and then you had the bricks, and that's a goal. You just, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what makes you keep thinking of more things to do? I know in the winter you can't sell lemonade as much. Yeah. I heard you do hot chocolate.
Yep.
And then the toy drive, and then
the coin drive.
The coin drive.
But since I'm going into high school, I don't know if I'll continue to do that just because I have more stuff going on in high school than I did in middle school.
When are you going to high school, this year?
This year.
Wow.
Yeah.
It grows so fast.
Yeah.
That's exciting. How do you feel about going to high school?
It'll be different. I'm excited because then I get to do more things. It's a bigger variety of what you can do. Yeah.
So what inspires you to keep going, to keep pursuing all these goals, even when you have headaches and challenges?
I put my money towards the kids because they inspire me the most, and those families, because they get up, you know, every day, and half those kids have a smile on their face even though they're going through something very difficult and very hard, and they always live their life to the fullest even though some days it can be tough. You never know what can happen. Your family always supports them, and the doctors, they get up at the crack of dawn for those kids and for those families because they want to help those kids. And that's what I always get up to live my life to the fullest potential that there is.
Do you have one particular memory of somebody that was a recipient of one of your projects that really moved you?
Yeah, so I've talked about him a couple times. I was doing a lemonade stand for my neighbor's grandson who had a rare type of leukemia, stage 4. And this man came up to my lemonade stand and he asked me what I was doing. And I, of course, told him what all the money was going towards and what I normally do. And then he told me that he had stage 4 leukemia and he only had a couple months to live. And that's where I kind of got my motivation, that he told me he was going to Colorado and he was going to do a bunch of fun stuff before something may happen. And that's where I always get my motivation from, is he really did inspire me to be different and kind of live life and have fun, but respect others and respect yourself and stuff like that. And that's where I got that motivation from.
That's really some great information to learn at your age.
Yeah.
And to cement into your character and what you want to do. Grace, do you know that you inspire a lot of people, even old people?
So I Blank Children's Hospital, Brenna Finnerty, the one who always works with us and stuff like that, she always tells me that kids come in and bring money because they saw me, and it was like, oh, that's like, I've never had that happen before, but it's good that they want to help others too. Yeah. And that's what's like the main thing.
Well, in closing, I'll just have you talk about your lemonade race again.
My 5K walk/run and a kids run will be held on July 27th out at Ada Hayden up here in Ames. It'll be at 8 a.m., and we also have a kids run at 7:30 in the morning. We also have, to register, you can go on runreg.com/graceslemonaderace3. We also do have a Facebook page at Amazing Grace Lemonade Race, and if you want to, like, if you have questions or anything like that, we do have an email, grace.lemonaderace@gmail.com, and we do have an Instagram, The Lemonade Race, where you can keep up with who sponsors our race, who's coming out to our race. We do have George Niang and Naz Long, former Iowa State men's basketball players, here coming up to run and support for Blank. We do have the Iowa State football players coming up again, and some soccer girls, Iowa State soccer girls. It'll be fun. So we encourage people to sign up and run, because that will be amazing.
So I bet it's pretty cool having all those teams join you in your mission.
Oh, yeah. I would never think I would ever meet George Niang or Naz Long, but now they're so nice and so supportive of me, and that's amazing, I think.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming out, and thank you for making the effort.
Yeah.
I know your mom couldn't join us, and your dad. It's nice that you have neighbors that are also very supportive. It must be a great neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I love my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just so broke you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, instead of champagne. Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the streets feeling like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Fell at the bottom of the gas, now I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm getting much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, 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 but now I feel better, better, better. Well, life gives you lemons instead of champagne. Don't worry, little children, I don't complain. Whoa, remember your golden, your bite's on sugar cane.
And that's Lemonade by Alex Boyer. Crystal Davis is here. She has joined us from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Welcome back, Crystal.
Thanks for having me back.
It's a great day. Cooler today, and we're happy you're here to share the coolness with
us. Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, talk to us. What is going to happen in the month of August and a little bit of July?
A little bit of July. So just want to remind you that there's still a few things happening this last part of July. So we encourage you, right now here in Story County, we have the Story County Fair going on. So what a great thing. It does happen over in Nevada, the Story County Fairgrounds. Go check that out. There's animals, there's livestock, there's games, there's exhibits that our youth in this county have put together and have done a great job. And so some of those things do go on to the state fair, but especially if you like fair food or homemade pie, you know, so an activity for through Wednesday if you'd like to check that out.
And it's an especially pleasant fairgrounds.
It's very
just really, really comfortable.
Yeah, easy to get
place.
Around. And my kids spent the whole day there yesterday running around.
Yeah, so it's all for the kids.
It is.
She loves it. A Norman Rockwell team come to life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also this weekend, if you need to do a little, maybe some early Christmas shopping, oh my gosh, Christmas already, but the summer sidewalk sales are here in downtown Ames. So they start on Thursday and go through Sunday. So be sure to stroll down Main Street this weekend and see if you see some great deals and some things that catch your eye. But we've got some great organizations and businesses down here who want to share their goods and their story. So stop in and check out their summer sidewalk sales. Also, we're coming up on the final weekend of the Summer Iowa Games. This is their third weekend in Ames. This one weekend we just finished was their biggest weekend with the most participants and visitors here. But they'll be back for their final weekend of Olympic style sports for all ages. And we're so happy they're here. And Ames, of course, the community just welcomes them with open arms. And so if you see some friendly faces or some visitors, make sure to say hi this weekend when they're back for their final weekend of competition.
It's always really nice during these weekends to drive along Lincoln Way and see all that going on.
Absolutely. It's very, very fun. And people from all across the state, they love what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we've got a great community to host them.
Yep.
So, Well, let's head into August. My gosh.
So
it's August. So let's talk about Antarctica and coldness. So, So let's go to the Ames Public Library on Thursday, August 1st, starting at 10 a.m., and they're partnering with ISU Extension and Outreach to explore the universe. And this topic on August 1st will be about Antarctica and their climate secrets. So, check that out and see what's going on with the climate in Antarctica.
Good way to chill out on
a
hot summer day.
Absolutely. Get inside and learn a little bit more about what's going on down there. So, we have the City of Ames Bandshell Concerts that will be still wrapping up this Thursday. But as we go into August, come back. The Central Iowa Symphony is having their summer concert at the Durham Bandshell. August 1st starts at 8 o'clock, and they've got a great lineup of music, so come with your lawn chairs and come with your neighbors and keep the summer music going.
That is a very fine concert. It's the week after the band concert, Muni band concerts end, and this is a good one. I think this would be an audience pleaser.
Be a very good one. So August sometimes makes us think about back to school. So Ryman Gardens is doing a Teacher Appreciation Day, and this will be Friday on August 2nd. So free admission for current school district employees. They're going to just be celebrating the education. And then also, if you are an educator, they've got some information for you in case you want to take your school group there. Thanks to Ryman Gardens for saying we appreciate you teachers on August 2nd. And of course, they have a great display going on for the rest of us, their Nature of the Game exhibit with their life-size games out there. So those will go on through October. And if you haven't been out there already, be sure to check that out as well. So it's August. It's hot. Think about ice cream, sorbet, and head on down to Cook's Emporium on August 2nd. They're doing a demonstration where you can learn about all things, how to make ice cream, sorbet, and granadas. And then you get to taste and sample and walk home with some great recipes. So that starts at 5:30 on August 2nd at Cook's Emporium. Then the next day, a fun thing happening at the Furman Aquatic Center called Conquer the Current. And this starts at 8 a.m. And this is if you'd like the challenge of running the 2 miles against the current in their lazy river. So kind of a unique challenge. And it's registration at 7:45 or kind of check-in, and then they'll go till 10:30.
It's tough enough to walk against that current. I tried it.
I know. So if you're up for the challenge and maybe have some fun, bring a friend with you, good way to start your Saturday and get ready to go for the day. Also, just want to mention that our fearless helpers here, the police department and the firefighters, have their Vinker golf outings on the 3rd and the 18th. So they'll be busy hosting some fun for folks as they work for their favorite charities. So if you love to golf and want to help out our local law enforcement, police, and the Ames firefighters, check that out as well. Big anniversary for a very popular show that's coming up on the weekend of the 16th and 17th of August. It's the 25th annual Senior Variety Show, and they are celebrating silver and creating gold. So very popular. They'll be at the Ames City Auditorium, and it's a great performance. And if you consider yourself a more seasoned performer, this show's for you to participate in. And we encourage everyone to come watch them.
It's a fun event. I was there last year. My wife and I went, and the crowd was big, and the performers were outstanding up there.
It was really good talent.
Nice.
I've seen a small group of them perform at a private event, and they were amazing.
Go see it if you've never seen this
Absolutely. Maybe you'd like to try bike riding, and maybe kind of on a easy pace. Skunk River here in downtown Ames is offering Mellow Mondays, and this runs all through August on Mondays, and it starts at 5 o'clock at their location down here on Main Street. And they have a low-key ride with a little bit on pavement, a little bit on gravel, and all ages and abilities are welcome to join them. You kind of start to gather at their store at 4:30, and they'll keep track of you so you don't get lost and have a fun time biking around our community, and it's for all ages, so be sure to check that out on Mondays. A new exhibit that's coming to the Ames Public Library that starts on August 14th and goes through the 24th, and this is called Wearable Art Exhibit, and this will be open during the public library open hours, and teams from ISU's College of Design have created some great works of wearable art that explore human interactions, and they analyze the materials they use and test various fabrication processes. So a very unique exhibit, and be sure to check that out at the public library.
Yeah, I wonder what that is, wearable art.
Me too.
Clothing?
Yeah, we'll have to see if check that out and see
maybe
what kind
I'm
of materials.
Wearing artwork right now,
you
and I don't
are
know.
You are a walking piece of art. That's right.
Like that.
We all are. Yeah. Another fun event that is tied to the library happens on August 22nd, and this is their popular literary pub crawl. Mm. It's called Pub Fiction, and it starts at 6 o'clock, so we encourage you to find out about that. That is a 21 and over event, but a great way that they get out and interact in downtown Ames and tie it back to fiction. So a fun event if you're interested in that on the 22nd. Second. Are you familiar with gaming and esports? And well, that's really up and coming. And so there's an event on August 24th called Next Level Expo. And this will be hosted in the rooms out at the Gateway Hotel and Conference Center. And it's about gaming, it's a kind of a cosmic convention, gaming, esports, competition, virtual reality, costume contest. So if you're into gaming and esports, check this event out called Next Level Expo on August 24th. So we've been exploring that, like there's conventions and meetings, and I hear at ISU they're even putting a gaming room in through their rec services to meet the demand of what the students are into. Mm-hmm. So also later in the month, ASOAR is having their annual release party. So this is Saving Our Avian Resources, SOAR. This will be on Sunday, August 25th, starting at 1 o'clock out at McFarland Park. And it's an afternoon all about the feathered friends. The rehabilitated birds will be returning to the wild. So if you're interested in that, want to check out and see how that works, save the date for August 25th. So we've had a great summer. Lots of the good things have been grown in our gardens. But maybe you would like to work on how to save your seeds for future. So Wheatsfield Cooperative has a great class on Monday, August 26th called Seed Saving Basics. Mm. And it starts at 6 o'clock. Kind of discover how to plant for strong genetics, observe your plants, and then how to collect and save your seeds as you move forward. So a great workshop that you can check out then. Also with August, you know, school starts, so some things start to happen our friends over at ISU. So the Grandma Mojo's Moonshine Revival is back, and they will be starting up on August 28th. And this happens every Wednesday, every other Wednesday as they move into the fall. And so this is Iowa State's premier improv comedy troupe. As they like to say, it's the cheapest date on campus. You can come watch them perform right there at the maintenance shop. So if you like some improv comedy, that'll start back up at the end of the month as well. Also happening this week, but then in August as well, is Fuel Fest, which is a new event put on by Fuel Story County, which is formerly known as Young Professionals of Ames, but they've rebranded to Fuel. They've got a family-friendly event that happens at Ryman Gardens. Everyone's invited to come. They'll have food carts, beverages, some great music. Kids are invited. So, you know, a family event in the beautiful Ryman Gardens, and you can check that out. Always check out the calendar at thinkgames.com or call your favorite organization. They've got a ton of events happening all the time.
And let's not forget that ISU football starts on August 31st.
Oh, yeah. So then ISU is back in action with all their sports and events. So good. More things to attend.
Hey, Crystal Davis, thank you very much for
being here
from the Ames Convention and Visitor Bureau. See you next month.
Thank you.
All right.
And you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we've been your hosts, Ursula Rudenberg and Dennis Hart.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, please remember you can hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. And remember that KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of the Very Great Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, come on down. We'll train you, and you can join the Local Talk team.
And remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again
on the radio very soon.